welcome to the Business Success Club. I want to say welcome, and you are in for a treat in this group. Hey, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. And on this podcast, what we really want to establish is this: how do hardworking entrepreneurs build profitable and scalable businesses whilst having the freedom and balance to do the other things they love, like family, vacations, sports, fun, adventures, and charity? So let's tune into today's podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business Success Show with me, Mac Attram. And in these sessions, as you know, we like to explore this burning question: how can hardworking entrepreneurs like yourself build profitable and scalable businesses whilst having the freedom and balance to do all the other things that are so important as well, like fun, like family, like sports, like adventures, like charity? There is more to life than just the daily hustle and grind. And today on the Business Success Show, I have a good friend of mine I've known for many, many years. We'll go into it in a moment. His name is Robert Riopel. Now, Robert Riopel, I'll tell you this, is an international best-selling author, is an app designer, is an entrepreneur, is a trainer, coach, who has spent the past 18 years traveling around the world, sharing his passion. Traveling around the world as an entrepreneur, would you like that? He has a way of doing that. He lives life to the fullest. You're going to love him. In a moment, he'll be on. He has also shared a stage with and trained many of the top trainers and speakers around the world, the thought leaders around the world. He has worked with them and shared a stage with them. With his high energy and heartfelt style, Robert draws on his journey from humble beginnings to financial freedom at the tender age of just 32. Now, he loves to inspire individuals to tap into their greatness, realizing that he's not the only person that struggles. Robert's book is all about success left clues. Success left clues. Now, I'm going to bring him up here in a moment. He's great at opening up the opportunities and the possibilities that you have latent within you so you can live your great life. Now, let's welcome Robert Raymond Riopel. Welcome, Robert. Good to see you again, my friend.
It's been too long actually since seeing you. And I can't wait till we actually get to share the stage physically, be on a stage, impacting lives again. It's been many, too many years since that. And, you know, when we do our weekly Clubhouse, as an example, we're always talking to each other, but we don't see each other. So I'm loving being able to see you on Zoom. Point. And, this is kind of cool. I've been looking forward to this interview.
Fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the Business Success Show. And I'll say this as well. Listen, audience, whoever's listening in and watching, I'll say this. Today, we're talking about how to be the authority or seen as the expert in your industry. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a coach, if you're a consultant, if you're an expert in any form or way, you need to understand one thing. How do you stand out in a crowded marketplace? How do you get to be seen as the go-to person for what you do? We're going to be discussing that very, very shortly. But before I go into that, for those of you who don't know Robert, give us a little bit about your background and what you do, what you've been doing, and what you do now. And actually, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, right now I live in central Alberta in Canada. And it's funny, it's actually, I'm back in the area where I grew up most of my life. It took, my wife and I originally moved away about 30 years ago for work. And it took us then 27 years to get back to this area where we actually met. Because one of the things I'm blessed about, and I'm loving that you do a show for entrepreneurs to teach them about how to have balance in their life. Because balance is so important. You know, my wife and I, we met when we were 13. We started dating when we were 16. And we got married when we were 19. And last month, we celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary.
Wow, that deserves a round of applause by itself. Good job. 32 years.
32 awesome. Years.
Congratulations.
Well, and you know, being an entrepreneur, one of the things that is important is having that time with family. And so even last week, we spent the whole week camping with other family members. And this may shock you, Mac, out of the three couples, it was myself, a sister-in-law and her husband, a brother-in-law and his wife, And we're celebrating our brother-in-law and his wife's 37th wedding anniversary. My wife and I were the young couple, the young married couple, wow, out of the three couples. You know, my other sister-in-law and her husband, they've been together since they're 12 years old. And, you know, and that's my wife's oldest sister. So it's something that runs in the family because balance is so important. And business owners, though, what they don't realize or what a lot of business owners think, and for those who are watching, they're going to see I have my hands up in front of me. For those of you listening, my hands are in front of me, and people, and they're still, and they're side by side. And most people think balance is like everything's perfect. And it's like, oh, and just exactly like it is. But you, something you and I know is that everything's always changing. Absolutely. And what I've discovered is balance is making adjustments. Mm. That's what balance is. Because if you're waiting for it to be perfect, especially as an entrepreneur, oh my goodness, you're going to be waiting a long time and you're going to wonder why you're stressed. Exactly. You're going to wonder why things aren't the way they are. And so it's been a lifelong journey to come to that stage and understand that. You know, as a young child, being in the area I grew up in here, I was taught, Robert, when it's time to work, you work hard, you stay loyal to the company. And if you do, even if you don't like the job, you do what you need to do to take care of your family. Whether you enjoy it or not, that doesn't matter. Find something that's giving you good money and stability. So that's what I did. But also, by the time I'm 21 years of age, I've worked for three different companies. And my mind's going, I'm working hard. I'm staying loyal. Why is it I've worked for three companies? And I am so grateful I learned this lesson back then, that if I wanted any kind of control in my life, I had to take control of that. And out of necessity, and this is, I think, a lot of your listeners and your viewers will realize and or understand this. Where I am today, a lot of it started out of necessity, because I didn't know back then what I know today. And where I live, we have oil. If oil prices are doing well, our economy booms. But if oil prices are low, like it was in 1989, when I was laid off from that third company, our oil prices are low. We have no jobs. No, our economy's down the tubes. And I lose this third job because they're shutting the factory down. I do what I'm taught to do. I put on the suit, the tie, the jacket, and I go and look for that real job. And I can't find one. So out of necessity, I start delivering pizzas for Domino's Pizza, because I'm newly married. I want to take care of my wife and do what needs to be done. And fairly quickly, I actually started making more money doing pizza delivery than I did in my real job. And I went from being a delivery driver. Now, listen to this. Out of necessity, I became a manager. And you may wonder what I mean by that. Here I am, I'm driving, and I find out my franchisee has sold his store. And he's bought two more stores in a city, Calgary, Alberta, an hour and a half away. Mm. And in my mind went, a new owner is going to come in, and I'm probably going to be laid off again. I can't be laid off. How do I secure my future? And my mind went, wow, if he's got two stores now instead of one, I'll do the math. He probably needs another manager. And I'm just a driver. But one of the things that has always worked for me is I'm a hard worker. When I show up and I walk in that door, something my mother taught me, no matter what's going on in your life, the moment you walk into work, you leave your worries at the door. You be there and be focused at 100%. And because of that, when I sat down and said, look, I need something more permanent. You have two stores now. Do you need a manager? We talked for a little bit and he went, yep, absolutely. Let's make you a manager. You move to Calgary in 2 weeks. Now, Mac, here's what's funny. And again, I think entrepreneurs can understand this. I looked at him. I said, well, I've been driving. I have no in-store experience. If I'm going to manage a store, can I actually get some experience before I go? And he looked at me and goes, you'll have plenty of time when you get there to learn. And so I was thrown into the situation.
Into the deep end, huh?
Yeah. And isn't that what entrepreneurs do? They take things on and they go, okay, let's figure it out. So I moved 2 weeks later. My wife, Roxanne, becomes my assistant manager. Right. And we fall back into what we know. We start working hard. 7 days a week, we are working open to close. And we're doing this for just over a year. I'm now, and I don't know how much you know about Domino's Pizza, but you can't just buy a franchise. You actually have to successfully manage a store for at least a year, okay, meet a bunch of criteria. Once you do, then you can be qualified as a franchisee, which means they'll waive the upfront franchise fee. You just have to buy or build a store and pay for that, which is still expensive, but at least you don't have an upfront franchise fee. And so here I am, I'm now qualified to be a franchisee, when all of a sudden we get the news that my franchisee has decided he's tired of Domino's and he's selling both of his stores. You talk about fear mode come back in, because my mind instantly goes, and we've been in the system now long enough that we've watched a few stores around us get sold. And who are the first people that go? The managers, because a new franchisee comes in with his own team or her own team wanting to do things their way. Okay. So here's where my mind went. My mind is like, okay, honey, and I'm talking to Roxanne, not you, Mac.
Okay. I don't mind, really. I don't mind.
Okay. Okay. It's like, we've got to start talking to other franchisees and get a new job. And she's like, why would we do that? And I'm like, hello, you know, we're about to be laid off. And she goes, well, why don't we buy the store? We have no money. Okay. Hello. Uh-huh. And she goes, so what? And I, where I was raised to be such an in the box thinker. You don't question things. You don't, you know, Robert, your family, you're just going to be workers, nothing else, not entrepreneurs. So in my mind, I'm going, there's no way we can do this. And the running joke in our family is, I was innocent until I met my wife, because when she came along, she corrupted me in such great ways of how to think outside the box. You don't just go with the status quo. Don't just, because someone says it's the way it is, you don't just sit there and go, okay, it must be. Because a standard conversation is, well, why don't we do this? And I go, well, we can't. Why? Well, that's not the way it's done. That was me. I didn't understand to question things. But because of our passion and her guidance, we started investigating, how do you buy a business if you have no money? And it took us about 4 months of making a lot of, I won't say mistakes, a lot of learning curves. You know, as an example, we'd come up to someone and say, Mac, you know, you're an advisor, and you come up to us and you say, I can get you financing for your stores, but you just have to pay me my $1,000 fee up front first.
Right.
And then I guarantee I'll get you financing. Then so we'd fork out the money we didn't have, the $1,000. Yeah. And next thing you know, they're going, sorry, again, no one I know wants to lend you money. And so we went through a lot of these learning curves, but we were always asking that question, okay, what did we learn? And we started learning what to say, what not to say. And about 4 months into it, we had the confidence to go to our own bank. And here's something I want all of your listeners to understand. Make sure you have great relationships with your bank managers, with your bank tellers. Treat them like gold, because you never know when that relationship will help you, especially in business. Because our bank manager had helped us buy our first house. We were young kids. We're 23 years of age. And we're sitting down with her one day and we're frustrated. And she'd ask, how's it going? With wanting to buy the store you're in. And we said, it's not going well. She goes, well, have you ever talked to, the business manager here? And we're like, no, we can't get an appointment with him. Because back then you had to know someone to be able to see the, manager of the business side. And she goes, pardon me? I said, yep, we haven't been able to get an appointment with him. She goes, come with me. She stands up, takes us by the hand, walks us across the branch, knocks on his door and says, hey, this is Robert and Roxanne Riopel. They're hardworking kids. I want you to take care of them.
Wow.
All of a sudden, because it's the branch manager saying to the business manager, take care of them, he invites us in, we sit down. And next thing you know, because we knew what to say, because we'd been learning, we ended up not buying the store we were working in. We bought both of the stores he had for sale, and the bank gave us 100% financing.
Well, that's amazing. The key lesson I'm hearing from you here is this: as an entrepreneur, there's always a way, there's always an answer, and treat your relationships delicately, especially people you may need later on. So you treated that bank and the tellers and the branch manager decently at a time of your, and the hour of your need, they were able to support you. That's fantastic. And you never gave up, right? You never gave up in terms of
never
gave up. Right. And that's go on.
But look, I got to be honest. I wanted to.
Right.
Many times. but my wife wouldn't let us. Right. Because again, I would go back into that fear, all this didn't work. Mm. And she's so, you know, two, probably, especially in today's day and age, the two most powerful words I've come across, what's next?
What's next?
And so, you know, we hit a roadblock and she'd go, okay, so what's next? I'm like, come on, we just spent another $1,000. And she goes, so what's next? And she just would not let us quit on it. And yeah. So it's, you know, I'm going to kind of go in a different direction here, because you and I are blessed. We have amazing women in our lives.
Yeah, true.
Amazing women. And you've heard that saying, behind every great man, there's a great woman.
Right.
And do you believe that to be true, Mac?
Yeah, I think it's side by side. I think side by side rather than.
That's right.
Front.
I hate that saying that behind every great man. It's beside every great man is a great woman.
I like
because
that.
It is a partnership, right? Yeah. And so I have no problem admitting to people, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for my amazing wife.
Likewise. Now we because share
especially,
that yeah.
Yeah. And so when we never gave up and we found a way to do it and we became franchisees. Now what's interesting though is we knew how to run a store.
Right.
But we didn't know how to run a business.
Which is different, right? Very, very different.
Totally different. Totally different. You know, the first 2 years, here was our accounting mindset. If there's money in the bank, we must be doing okay.
That is a trap of the entrepreneur, the immature entrepreneur, that money's in the bank, we're okay. And it's not the case, not at all.
Yep.
What were some of the biggest lessons for you in that, you know, as a new entrepreneur, what were some of the biggest lessons?
Well, you know, ignorance is bliss. I will tell you that because a statistic that Domino's Pizza love to let everybody know is that the 95% of the franchisees started as drivers, just like myself. And the average age when we had our store, the average age of a Domino's Pizza franchisee was 23 because you worked your way up through the ranks.
Right.
Which is how old we were when we bought our first store. Right. Now, the data that they did not want to share is the new franchisee, the average length of time from them getting to become a new franchisee to going bankrupt was 6 months.
Wow.
And the reason is they'd come in as a store manager. If you were my franchisee and I was your manager, you're the one paying the bills. I'm the employee, so I'm doing everything in the system. I'm following the system. That's how I qualify to be a franchisee.
Right.
But what happens at the age of 23, that ego likes to play. Oh, and so all of a sudden it's like, I'm now the boss. I'll do things my way. And all of a sudden they start changing the system. And because they start changing the system, the average new franchisee would go bankrupt within 6 months. And probably the only reason my wife and I didn't is because we didn't know that we were in that bad of condition with our stores. We just, oh, there's money in the bank. We'll keep going. And to the fact though, we didn't even have an accountant for the first 2 years. Why? We couldn't afford one in our mind because we didn't come from the life of, as a business owner, you make sure you have an accountant, you make sure. And today I fully, oh my goodness, I will not start a business without my accountant being right there to, you know, and a great accountant will save you way more money than they ever cost you. But back then it was like, we can't afford to have a bookkeeper and accountant. We'll do it on our own. So not only are we trying to run a store 7 days a week, open to close, but our accounting just built up and built up. So when we finally got caught up a couple years later and we're seeing how bad of condition we're in, holy crap, paradigm shift, life lesson. What do we do now?
Right? Let me ask you this, Robert, you've had a lot. I'm going to take it slightly at a tangent because you've had a lot of challenges, business and in life, and you've overcome them. I know you as a friend, you've trained now and trained and spoken in front of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. You've made a difference to them. You are an expert in your field. I want to take it down the road of how does someone, because of all the experiences you've had, life and business, and you've helped so many people, you've trained so many people, how can an entrepreneur, a consultant, a coach, or whoever stand out in the marketplace? You know, how do you become the authority, or how do you, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there's the practical side of things. Like as an example, tap into your natural gifts and don't be afraid to go with what you're naturally good at. And, you know, things like having a podcast are going to help you stand out, because instantly people start to see that, oh, if you have a podcast, you must know something. Right. Or having a book. I love that you have your books displayed behind you right now, because a book, being an author, automatically positions you as an authority. Because if you're an author, you must know something. That's why authority, author, is part of the word authority, right?
Yes.
So if you look at that, so there's a lot of the practical skills. But what I'd love to dive deep into, because you and I do a lot of the inner work with people.
Yeah.
What a lot of people miss, though, is why do I not maintain? Okay, I can do all these practical things. So why do I still sabotage myself?
So you're talking about practical things being the credibility pieces, the positioning pieces, like the books, the international best-selling author, which you are. Speaking on these different platforms, having a podcast, all the credibility and positioning pieces are important. But you're saying there are things internally that people don't take care of, and so that is not consistent, or they don't keep that maintained. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. You know, something you brought up right in the beginning as an example is how busy entrepreneurs are.
Mm.
And one thing I've come across, and I use the acronym OPEN. I use the acronym OPEN for what I call the four phases of life that we're constantly going through. And I cannot take credit for this. I have an amazing friend, someone actually, even yesterday morning, we were talking about this and I mentioned him and you were not sure who it is. I call him the quantum monk, because 15,000 hours of meditation as a monk for 8 years. Wow. But he also studies quantum physics. And during his studies, he came across what he called his chaos modules. And when he did the research on it, and I saw it, because he's a brilliant teacher, I went, great, this stuff is amazing. But it's not his passion to teach it, Matt.
Okay.
His passion is helping people tap into what he calls it their heart virtues. Why do you do what you do? And I'm like, the world needs this information. You know, do I have your permission to put my own spin to it, my own words to it? And he's like, Robert, please. So we spent hours on video with Zoom, and I'm interviewing him, and I'm diving deep because I want to make sure I take his work and do it justice. And as we're doing that, and I'm putting my own spin on it, all of a sudden he's going, wow, you've nailed it. And even the word, the acronym OPEN, he says, this is what it does for people. It opens them up. Like, have you ever, and I'll ask it to you because you're an amazing entrepreneur. Has it ever seemed like things are going great for you and everything's just going on track, and all of a sudden a big wall comes up?
Oh, yeah.
And just, so it's like being able to say open sesame.
Yep.
And walk through it. And that's called chaos. And a lot of people, the reason they self-sabotage or the reason they run into problems is they end up getting chaos and they resist chaos. And I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to say it like this, chaos is natural. And if you embrace chaos, see, as human beings, we're meant to evolve. And chaos is a mechanism that comes into our life to force us to evolve, even if we don't want to. Because how many people, from all the people we've trained around the world, Mac, they get caught staying stagnant. They get caught in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so as an entrepreneur, what happens for them, a lot of them are really, really busy. And they're like, I can't even think of doing anything else. I'm so busy. And what I've learned over the years is there's a difference between being busy and being productive. And most entrepreneurs, they struggle because they've become so conditioned of being busy that they go, I don't have time. What do you mean family time? Why are you selling me this pipe dream that I can actually have family time and still be successful? As in, you know, I'm writing my new book, The Authority Key. And if I go down to my office, oh, I can come up 8 hours later and I've been busy because I've checked social media so many times. I've checked my emails. I've made phone calls. I may have wrote a bit on the book, but I've been busy. Oh my goodness, am I tired?
Yeah.
But when you're productive,
yeah.
And now I'm so on my calendar, and this is what I recommend for entrepreneurs, and it's something you and I teach. The first thing that goes on my calendar are my balance pieces, my time for me, time for family, time to rejuvenate what we want to do. Then I put in my focus times. So as an example, if I know I want to take an hour and write my book, because look at what research has shown. A person can't truly stay focused on something for more than an hour before they start drifting.
Right.
So I book in for an hour, maybe it's 10 o'clock to 11. That's my time to write my book. Everything else, Roxanne knows I'm in my office. Don't call me, don't knock on the door. I'm there to write. And in that hour of productivity, I can be more productive than 8 hours of being busy.
Right.
So I just freed up an extra 7 hours, right?
Yeah.
So going back to the four phases of life, using the acronym of OPEN, the O stands for observation phase.
Okay.
And you've heard the saying, we're human beings, not human doings.
Correct.
Well, in the observation phase, you're actually a human creating. This is the time to meditate. This is the time to ask yourself, what do I really, really want? Where would I love my business to go? Where would I truly love to see it? This is the time you create your vision boards. You're not trying to figure out how it's going to work, what you need to do. This is the time to just sit there and be with yourself and go, okay, if I truly want to have, and let's stay with entrepreneurs, if I want my business to scale, where would I like it to be in the next 3 to 5 years?
Right.
And don't worry about, well, I can't do that because, no, just where would you like it to be? And start, be that observer. Just notice and just allow yourself to be in that present moment and create. The second phase, I call it the pamper phase. And this is the phase that most entrepreneurs do not do. And this is why they sabotage. See, the pamper phase is where you take care of you. You cannot give what you do not have. So in the pamper phase, this is where you take a holiday. Or if you can't take a holiday at that specific moment that you enter the phase, you plan a holiday. Or maybe you go and get, you and I, we don't need to get our hair done. But for those who do have hair, you go get your hair done, you get your nails done, you go for a massage. Do something you enjoy. I like to go for walks, so I go for a walk. Or I like to read, or I take 20 minutes on my phone, because a pamper phase can even be 20 minutes where I'll take my phone, I'll open up the app Calm, C-A-L-M, and using the free version of it, I like the sound of rain. For 20 minutes, I'll just sit, close my eyes, and listen to rain. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes for my mind to quiet before I then go into that relaxation mode. And after 20 minutes, I'm ready to go again. See, and the reason the pamper phase is so important is because so many entrepreneurs get so busy, they forget to take care of themselves. They forget. And I'm no different than anybody else. I've learned these lessons going through life. You know, when I started training, I was overliving my passion, not taking care of me. And I ended up taking a year off, which turned into 3.5 years. And why did it turn into 3.5 years? Because I was burnt out. And because I hadn't taken care of myself, I went through 2 back surgeries.
Oh, wow.
Because I herniated a disc. I was not taking care of myself on stage because I was wanting to give so much.
Yeah.
And so the pamper phase is so important because you do have to take care of you. Well, Robert, isn't that being kind of self-centered, taking care of me? No, that's being centered in self, as our friend Aaron Huey likes to say. You have to, go ahead.
Yeah, it's my wife has these days she calls self-care day. It's my self-care day. And so she will literally be doing nothing in business. She's a very successful entrepreneur. But it's like you said, it's the hairdressers, it's to get the nails done. It's for her, not even rushing. She'll stay in bed as long as she needs to. She'll take it easy that day. And it's self-care day, right? Yeah, it is. So she does that now and then, which is great, which is what you're saying, pampering, because it brings you that rejuvenation back to who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and the focus, right?
Yeah, and be creative in how you do it. Creativity. And don't be afraid to, like for me, like you, traveling all over the world, BC, before COVID, of course, people go, well, Robert, why are you willing to hop on a plane for 10 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours at a time? And while I loved being able to meet and teach people all over the world.
Yeah.
But B, there's a little selfishness in there. You see, the moment I sit in my seat on the plane, I disconnect from all media. I don't do work. Even if there's Wi-Fi, I don't connect to it. For me, while I'm on that plane, that's my time.
Your time.
I will read because I love to read. Yeah. I'll watch movies because I love to watch movies. Yeah. I may have a sleep or two. I get to eat some good food. I drink some good wine.
Yeah.
Because I know in the pamper phase, the moment I hit the ground, the next 3 to 5 days, I'm on stage up to 12 hours a day because I'm in the next phase. See, the next phase is the E phase, which is energy. And the energy phase, this is the time to get stuff done. This is the time to be productive, not busy, productive. And on an energy phase time, I can put in an 18, 20 hour day. And although I may be tired at the end, because I'm taking care of the pamper phase, I'm not wasted. I'm tired, but I'm not wiped out. And entrepreneurs know the difference between that feeling, right?
Yeah.
Because how many times do we get in a mind fog and we're going, how can I even think of scaling up? How can I even think of being busy? My mind just is so tired now. So in the energy phase, when you take care of yourself properly in the pamper phase, when you enter in an energy phase, you can be so much more productive than you realize. And that's why the phases go together. In the energy phase, you don't worry about, what's my day going to look like. And I live by my calendar because now I schedule everything.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways to be much more productive. Mm. I look at my phone. I'm starting today early because I have an interview with you. Then I know in 2 hours after our interview, I do a live training. After that, I have, I think, 3 more podcast interviews today that I'm doing. But I also, in my calendar, I have those balance pieces, which is my honey-do list. You know what a honey-do list is.
When your honey is giving you that list to make sure those things get done, I suppose.
Yeah, honey, do this. Honey, do that. Honey, do it.
I know what that's like.
But see, living on an acreage, I love that because now it gets me the breaks during the day.
To go
like yesterday. Stuff. Yeah, we've got 4.25 acres here, of which 4 acres is grass. Wow. So yesterday, because it was going to rain, I got on the zero radius mower, and I took 2.5 hours and I went and mowed the lawn.
Nice.
And I put in music into my ears and just listened to music while I drove around mowing the lawn. Right. Yes. And so that also, even though I'm doing a task because I like my music, it allows me to be centered and rejuvenate me and change my mindset from just trying to do business all the time. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. Absolute sense. And
now the four phase.
Open number N. Yeah. Yeah.
That's N. Now the N, this one's a little tricky because N is actually the second letter of the word. I couldn't find the word that started with an N that I wanted to represent what I needed. So I had to get creative, like all entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And the fourth phase is called the unclutter phase. Unclutter.
Right.
And another word for that is chaos. Because here's what happens. Things are going well and all of a sudden chaos comes in. And when you enter the chaos phase, and I'll explain why I call it unclutter in a moment, but this is the time when you have to be willing to courageously destroy something in your life. So meaning when you're in the unclutter phase, there may be a business or personal relationship that it's time to end that relationship because it's just not working anymore. And how many people, especially entrepreneurs, they'll keep dealing with someone that isn't productive with them, whether it's employee, whether it's supplier, whether it's business partner, because they don't want to have to start over or they think it's going to set them back. So they just keep dealing with a person that's not in alignment with them, a person that's not as in integrity with them, whatever the case is. So the reason I call it unclutter is because most people, when the chaos enters their life, they resist it, like I said. And they're like stressed out and they're like, oh my goodness, why is this happening to me? But if you embrace it and you go, this is natural, you can actually cooperate with the universe. Have you ever gone to your refrigerator, Mac, and opened it up and went, maybe it's time to get some old food out of here. Yep. I think there's some expires up. See, you volunteer by saying, what can I actually courageously unclutter in my life? And it could be something as simple as cleaning out the refrigerator. Mm. It could be tidying up and straightening out your office. Every 2 weeks, I'll go in and I'll unclutter my office because I'm showing the universe that I'm going to volunteer to actually keep on clutter so that if you send me a lesson, it's not as harsh. It's not as intense because I'm actually uncluttering as I go. And right. so now this means that one of the biggest things a person can destroy in their life when they're in this phase is a non-supportive belief that they've been hanging on to.
Right. Okay. I see it. Okay. So uncluttering, okay. letting go of stuff, letting go of
things. Yeah, exactly. Right. You have to be willing to let go of something good to get something great.
Got it.
Let go of something great to get something phenomenal.
Yeah.
But how often do we get so attached that I've always done it this way? And so we have that belief that it's got to be done this way. Well, how many times are you going to bang your head against the brick wall?
Exactly.
Before you go, maybe there's another way. And this is where education is so important.
Yeah.
And why we're having a mentor in your life. How many business owners forget to have mentors? And they think I'm an entrepreneur. That means I work for myself. I need to figure it out on my own. No, you don't. So the greatest cure for having that mindset that's not working is to truly just allow yourself to learn something new and be open to it. Right. And because when you leave the unclutter phase, you actually go back into the observation phase.
Wow.
And I love what my friend Greg says. He says this: instead of being willing to live life, courageously allow life to live you.
Beautiful. Well said. On that note, you've been listening to Robert Raymond Riopel. And if you are not following us in the Facebook group, the Business Success Club, make sure you follow in the Facebook group, the Business Success Club. So welcome again to the Business Success Show with Robert Raymond Riopel. We will be wrapping up in a moment. We've been talking about how to really create a lot more success in your life. If you want to stand out in the marketplace, if you want to be the go-to person, if you want to have be the authority, the expert, you have to not just work on the external, but you need to work on the internal. We've been talking about how to be more productive. He's given us his model, the framework, the open model. I love it. If you missed it, make sure you rewind, you watch this again. So, Robert, before we start wrapping up, I'm going to leave you with last few words. Also, please do share with us if people want to learn more from you, they want to connect with you, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
Well, they can follow me on my fan page on Facebook, absolutely. But what I'd love to do, because you're so gracious enough to have me on your podcast, is my first book that I released 4 years ago, Success Left a Clue, is I'd love to give the ebook version to all of your listeners as a gift from us to them. And to do that, they just simply have to go to robertriopel.com and they'll be able to download that book.
Okay. So if you look at the screen now, let me read it. Robert Riopel, R-I-O-P-E-L, Robert Riopel, R-I-O-P-E-L.com, and get his Success Left a Clue digital book. It's all yours as a gift. So I want to say thank you for giving people that. And it's a great book. I have got the book. Check it out. If you want to change yourself internally to have more success, that's the book you need to read. Robert, any last words you want to say before we wrap up here?
Yeah, you know, Mac, I'm going to say thank you to you for all that you do, because you are a shining example of what it is to be an entrepreneur, to be authentic, to be yourself in who people see on stage and off stage, which is one of the biggest reasons that I really connect with you. Your heart just shines through. And I'm going to let people know that when they, just like what you teach, when they go and they start reading my book, Success Left a Clue, there is a caveat with it. Because we know that the biggest difference between success and non is successful people take action. True. I wrote the book as a workbook. I don't want them to just read it, go, that was nice, put it on the shelf, make it shelf help. Actually, step number three in the book is take action. So I've done action steps throughout the book. And I'll say, before you read any further, do this action. And then the next chapter goes, did you do the last action? If not, stop reading now, go back and do the action. Because I want people to actually do something with the information to create the life they truly want. And how I sign every autograph and every email is with these words that I'll end with. Always live with passion.
There you go. And this is the man who lives with passion. I've known him for more than 10 years. I'll say more than 10 years. Lives with passion. You cannot be in the same room as Robert and be sad. Your mind, your body will not let you. It's just the way it is. So you've been listening to Robert Raymond Riopelle and Mac Atram here at the Business Success Show. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Leave your comments, share it with your friends. Until we speak again, much love, God bless. Bye for now. Take care.